the people that you now say, oh, abillahi wa ayatihi wa rasulihi kuntum tastahzi'un, la ta'tadhiru qad kafartum ba'da imanikum. But the other people who do not, they just are not able to do it for one weakness or the other. They have to even compel them to do so. You must do it. Or some of them don't even know that it is wrong to do that. You just feel that way as Muslims. I'm praying 5 times a day now. There are some Muslims, if you go to their house, what they will use to convince you that they are Muslim, that they tell you that I have Quran inside my house. I remember when we were in the university, some people went for a dawah. And somebody was in the, you know, the way hostels are. So they greeted everybody, salam alaikum, salam alaikum. They didn't greet the person. The person said, ah, you didn't greet me? Me, I'm Muslim. Come and see my Quran. You know what? She went to open her box. The person went to open the box. See, my Quran is here. I'm Muslim. So if the people had known that the person is Muslim, they would say, salam alaikum already. Do you understand? So this kind of a person, you say she's kafir or he's kafir. Do you give that kind of a ruling on her? It will be difficult. So she doesn't even know that there is something called Sharia. She just knows that Muslim, Salah, Kawai. That's what she knows. Or he knows. So the cases are different from each other. And that's where the issue of Kufur, Duna Kufur comes from. Allah Ba'ad. Now. Okay. People quote statements like that, and they are not far from the mouths of people like Abdullah Faisal. They have comments like that. Imam Abu Hanifa says, if you give an egg to somebody who is going to a church in the morning, like that, you're a kafir. All those things have tafsir. What he was saying in a VCD that's out now, that Ibn Abbas has many mistakes. Many mistakes. He's known for mistakes. How can you say a companion is known for errors? Do you understand? There's gums. You are punching the companion. If a companion is known for many mistakes. No, there's something wrong with you. I know it started with the scholars. Now it is the companion. Because as he was saying that, yeah, the scholar said, the brother is saying that, but the companion said, he said, okay, you know, don't think that I'm worshipping Ibn Abbas. Even Ibn Abbas says, he said, adding to those people. Do you understand? So, people like him make those comments. And their alpha is Jahal and Hawa. Their failure is ignorance and Hawa. When he wanted to prove that Ibn Abbas, A'udhu Billah, in his wording, is known with many mistakes. Many mistakes, he's known for that. You know what he said? He said Ibn Abbas said that Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, saw Allah. Yes, Ibn Abbas said that, but it has explanation. I hope we have done that here. Yes, that Ibn Abbas said he saw Allah in some riwayat, he did not explain. But in some riwayat, he explained that the Ayni Ra'si, he did not see him. He saw him in his dream. So if he said he saw him, he's not talking about he saw him with his eyes that FaceTime is thinking in his jar. He's talking about that he saw him in his dream. And this is Mustafakun alayhi bin Ali Sunnah al-Jama'. The hadith that establishes is authentic. So when Ibn Abbas, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said that Ibn Abbas said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah, what Faisal understood from his hawa and ignorance is that he saw Allah the Ayni Ra'si. That's not what Ibn Abbas is saying. What Ibn Abbas is saying is that he saw him in his dream. So when they see one thing, they just pick it and begin to shout with it without looking for the explanation. That please, what is the explanation? Didn't Allah say, Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun? So when they see statements like that, they hold them and say, yes, we don't see something, we will go use. and they begin to use them. So if someone assists a kafir regarding their act of kufr, seeking their help and assistance and their favor by so doing, this is the kind of thing ulama refer to as kufr, an act of kufr, which does not necessarily mean that the person is a kafir, because not every person who acts or speaks kufr is a kafir. That is another way. We are trying to first of all establish the ruling, because there is a difference between a takfir bil wasf and takfir bil ta'yin. Takfir bil wasf is you are making that this, any person who does this, describing the act, and making takfir of the person, individual involved. That's why you cannot make takfir of a jama'ah of people. So all the people here are kufar. No. You must, individuals, each person's case and situation is what is different. Even when they would have been, you know, doing that act of sin together, the role of individuals and what is in their heart is different. So it is each person's ruling that will go to him. That will go back to the issue of takfir bil ta'yin, specifying takfir. But me using takfir bil wasf for jama'atun nas is from the people of Khawarij. It is their way to do that. So if they say the one who assists kufar regarding their acts of worship, that to do that is an act of kufr, it doesn't mean that any person who does it is a kafir. Because you have not established, one, does the person know that it is wrong? Is there any compelling need that makes the person do that? Do you understand that if he doesn't do that now, they can cut off his head? Do you understand? And things like this. So it is when all these things are not there, they refer to these things as mawani or takfir, things that will not make you do takfir of somebody who has acted upon kufr, then you can now start talking about the person's kufr. But first of all, they pick these words without explaining these nitty-gritties regarding it. So when they go anywhere, say, anybody who does this is kafir. Anybody who does this is kafir. Anybody who does that is kafir. Kafir is kafir. You know this kind of madness that they go about. Nobody is known with it in the history of Islam except the Khawarij. They were mad with issues of kufr. Who does it suit that all the people are kufar? Do you understand? Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that came with the message, what did he say? Subhanahu wa ta'ala about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, فَلَا تَذَبْ نَفْتُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً. Do not bring yourself because of them. You are thinking that these people, how will they accept? How will they accept? So all the time, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَذِيكُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We are aware that what they say, you don't like it. So the Prophet was not happy that people do or act or say kufr. He didn't like it. So today, they like it that people are upon kufr. When they say, oh, you must say that they are kufar. In fact, not only that, if they say that those people are kufar and you don't say that they are kufar, they are also kafir. This chain kind of madness, chain madness, it is. So Allahu Alam. Is it clear? Alaykum salam.
Or what they call, so what about impact by the
Which fatwa? He has fatwa over 20 volumes. Which is it? Which one is it? US to come.
When I raised that issue, he told me that Arab international court in Malaysia still not allow the
So any person who allows the kuffar to come into the Arabian Peninsula is a kafir, in the opinion of Abdullah Faisal. I should list some people so he should make takfir. And Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he said it is permissible for mushrikun to come into Makkah, haram, to trade. And Imam Malik ibn Anas, he said that it is permissible for mushrikun to come into haram to trade. Send takfir to him. This is also the position of Abu Hanifa. We have written something on it, inshallah, in the next few days to be out on these matters. Do you understand what I'm saying? If, what I'm saying is, if that fatwa makes somebody a kafir, then there are so many people that he makes takfir of. Even the Abu Hanifa, he always quote, he will not quote Abu Hanifa again because he would have sent takfir to him in his grave. And he would have commanded Allah that he should punish Abu Hanifa in his grave if he's pleased with him now. And this is what we hope for the Imam Ali Rahmatullah. Because he has also started to talk about things of the unseen. Abdullah Faisal has started talking about unseen. How? He told a brother in a debate that Allah does not like the brother. Do you understand? He said, you, Allah does not like you. That is why you cannot understand what I am saying. What is he talking about? Does he know who Allah likes, who Allah does not like? Do you understand? Because he quoted the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fid-din. He is the one who knows, man aradahullahu bi khayrin. He's the one who knows. And the one that man aradahu Allah bisu'in is the one who knows. He knows the irada of Allah. Do you understand? Allahu mustaan. Brothers, any person, the ulama say, Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he says the flesh of the ulama is a poison. Any person who eats it will die of it. The flesh of the scholar is a poison. If you eat it, that is what will kill that person. You know what is dragging him to make all these statements? He's trying to defend his earlier attack on the scholars. So it is getting him to attack companions, attack Allah now himself. Because to claim about Allah what you do not know about is an attack. To speak evil of Allah. If it were in this, like he is saying, a place where Sharia is established, they will call him and say, look, you say something. Were you in your senses when you say that thing? If you say yes, you say okay. Do you know that it is wrong? If you say no, they will present evidences to him. This for so reason it is wrong. If you say no, I don't agree, they will kill him. In a place where there is Sharia. So that it does not go around to infect people with those thoughts, as he has already infected some unwary people who thought that they want to learn Islam, and it is from Faisal that they want to learn Islam. Islam that has been there before they born the grandfather of Abdullah Faisal. And that has been perfected before they born his grandfather. It is now he wants to bring another Islam that nobody knows. So we should be careful about things like that. When the ulama makes statement, that statement that is made, that when there is a fitna, the ulama, they are the ones who say, yeah, it is the statement of one of the tabi'un, al-imam Hassan al-Basri, Ibn Abi Sa'id, Ibn Abi Hassan, that the Prophet sallallahu, that he said, that Imam Hassan al-Basri said, that al-fitanu la yarawha ahadun illa, that al-ulama yarawna al-fitan qabla nuzuliha. وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ لَا يَرَوْنَهَا إِلَّا بَعْدَ نُزُولِهَا. That the scholars, if a fitna is coming, they have seen it. There was no September 11 before they started warning us about Bin Laden now. There was no September 11 before they started warning us about terrorism and Bin Laden. And as the three of them just died, bam, the whole world just scattered. Don't you know that the world is in crisis now? Many of the people who could have been Muslims today are prevented from becoming Muslims. Many of the aids and support that Muslims receive now have now become terrorist camps. And now innocent Muslims are punished in different parts of the world. You see, because they are terrorists. Even in Pakistan, recently there is trouble between a council that is in charge of the syllabus of Muslim schools and the council that's in charge of the syllabus of secular education in Pakistan, because they are challenging them that the module of with which they teach contains things that will make those people become terrorists. So they must remove those verses there. All those things are post the so-called suicide attack in September 11. So the ulama saw all these things, they started to tell us and warn us regarding them. Now we are the ones facing the fitna. Today in the Arab world, those people who are most searched in the airports are the so-called Ahlus Sunnah brothers. I have seen this and I've experienced it. Wallahi, the security will embarrass you. You think that there is something else, because they think that you are the bomb carrier. But some people gave that impression to you. If you have a Muslim woman who is veiling, I've seen it and I've experienced it, they will search her as if she's an armed robber. Every part of her body, wallahi, they will put bomb detector there. Everywhere in a woman. Why? And it did not used to be like that. Before, when they see her, the new person, just go. Security will not check you. Today, you are the main target. What brought about it? These evils of these people that the people had seen and had warned us regarding. So, and there's a word used there in the question that they didn't compromise anything. They have just followed the qawaid of the Sharia, guiding those things. They've just followed the qawaid of the Sharia that is guiding those things. The scholars, some of them have said, like Al-Imam Shafi'i, that when the Muslims are in a dire need for the assistance of a mushrik in a war, they can seek the assistance of that mushrik. And many of the scholars too have said that. Someone has said, no, it is not permissible, like Al-Imam al-Tahawi in Mushkilul Asar, that it's not permissible to seek the assistance of a mushrik in a war. That because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim that la astaeenu bil mushrikeen ala al-mushrikeen, I will not seek assistance from a mushrik against a mushrik. And the Prophet did not take the assistance of that person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the person became a Muslim. So they say, so it's not permissible. Some scholars have said that. But some say, no, the day the Prophet was moving from Mecca to Medina, it was a mushrik that showed him the way. They hired him himself and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And they are even citing the incidents that on the day of Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Prophet had an alliance with some mushrikun. And that on the day of Fathu Makkah, he still kept to that alliance. So the matter is a divided matter from beginning. The scholars have differed on it. So if you want to send takfir because someone seeks assistance from mushrikun, then you should send takfir to all those who had permitted it before, like Imam Shafi, Muhammad ibn Idris, Abu Abdullah, alayhi rahmatullah. You should send him to takfir. Do you understand? So the matter is like that. It's not a matter of 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, as Faisal is saying. He is filled with ignorance and hawa, self-desire. And that's why the Salaf will refer to the people of innovation, the people of bid'ah, as ashabul ahwa, the people of desire. So but his own, I'm thinking that his major problem is more of ignorance. He has not read these things and he has not learnt them. Yes, he has not learnt them. I said it the first day or the second day we spoke about Faisal. That because someone graduates from university, Islamic university in Riyadh, does not make him scholar. No, don't talk about Islam that is so wide. Ordinary mathematics. Can someone have BSc mathematics and say, me, I'm a mathematician? If you say you're a mathematician, people ask you which mathematics you know. I have BSc mathematics. Because you have BSc mathematics, so that makes you a mathematician. Or someone has BSc in computer. He said, me as I am like this, now me and Bill Gates, you. Say, oh, what happened to me? I have BS in computer. So anything Bill Gates say, I can take it and if I like, I can throw it away. What will the people say? It's really crazy. So because he graduated from Imam Musawid and Summa Mada, that's what I'm saying, that if that is what makes Faisal Sheikh, that 1 million shuyuk in Nigeria, 1 million. You know how many Nigerians have graduated before he was born from that university, before Faisal was born. People like Dr. Ahmad in Kano graduated from Jamia Islamia. That time they have not born Faisal. They have not born him. He was not born, he was not known. Lam yakun shay'an mazkura. Today is Sheikh in Nigeria. No. If he goes to people where there are places where there are no people who know left and right about Islam, it is something else. But even there, will he declare all those people kufar? If he goes to a place now, only him is a Muslim. What will he do? Eh? You first of all look for matches, kill all the people. Before you kill two people, I'm sure they will bait him with acid. No, what will you do? You go to a place, you are the only Muslim. What will Faisal do? So I think he should take a place. Even if he wants to stay in Nigeria, we'll take him to Ogoni land. Even in Ogoni land now, there's Islam. Islam came into Ogoni land in the 19th century. There were Muslims there in Ikweri land, in deep parts. Maybe you take him to the area around Akwa Ibom, because in those areas, in the interior, there are still few Muslims. Let us see what he will do there. They will eat him like they eat ragu. So I think people should be careful about this, and I think we should not take him for a job. We should not take Faisal for a job. We should not make him something mudendin hawlaha. It's something we begin every time we have to talk about Faisal. You don't understand what I mean? Should not make him a matter for ourselves. Oh, if I don't talk, say, no, forget about him. Jahil is jahil. Allahu Akbar. You been raising your hand. Perhaps the last question. You have asked, go?
No.
Okay, so ask the question and so they will discuss it. Sure. No, you don't. They don't follow you to Insola. They won't. They avoid it. In fact, when they do, they will still repay their Insola again. They avoid it as much as is possible for them. Even if you go to Makkah, they will avoid it. They are the ones who always come in when the Imam say Assalamu alaikum. You see some people come and say, look at them, they are Shia. They always avoid it. So you avoid it too. Their Islam is shaky. It's a shaky Islam they have. They lay claim to Islam and destroy the companions. How did they get Islam? Did they steal the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who told them that it's Islam? Allahu alam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته
لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته السلام عليكم يا شيخنا
الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We had tried to make sure that this درس for today took place exactly as scheduled but قدر الله ما شاء فعل We all know what's going on around the fitna that the people have been facing the last few days perhaps in the last about a week now since the man called Abdullah Faisal came to Nigeria in the auspices of some people who are supposed to know Islam but unfortunately are very ignorant about it. There is no bending the rule that the people who brought Abdullah Faisal to Nigeria are people who really do not know about Islam. Perhaps we should remove the really people who do not know about Islam. So his trial has put people into agitation. And from the qadar of Allah, sometimes is that when things like this happen, it brings about tamyiz amongst the Muslims. When Allah made the Ghazwa of Ahzab to occur, it made tamyiz between people. It made tamyiz between those who actually believed and followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who were only saying that yes, we believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of the verses in Surah Al-Ahzab are evidences regarding that. With it, some of the munafiqun were known, who were only saying that no, we believe ma wa'adana Allahu wa rasuluhu illa ghurura, that the promises of Allah and the promises of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at all these soldiers, will be destroyed. They've not only promised us except to get us deceived so that we'll be killed and destroyed. But what were the Muslims saying? That he says, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. For the Muslims, it will not do them anything. When they see things like that, situations of trials and tribulations like that, they say, this is what Allah has promised. He has said that things like this will happen. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that at a point in time, ulama will die. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As in Kitab al-Ilm in Sahih Bukhari. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ عَنْ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ عَنْ صُدُورِ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. He says, Allah will not remove knowledge from the hearts of people who are learned people. And then he makes them forget such that they become ignorant. Allah will not do so. وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. But Allah will take knowledge away by taking the scholars away. حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ عَالِمًا. Such that there will not be scholars again. فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسَ جُهَالًا. So people will take ignorant people as their leaders. So this is the situation. People began to take, because they themselves are in the first place ignorant. So when they see someone who is ignorant, they take this, yes, this should be an imam, so to speak. This should be a sheikh. If Abdullah Faisal is qualified to be a sheikh, then there are a million shuyukh in Nigeria. How many Nigerians have gone to Jamia Islamia, for example, and graduated with better degrees than him? Because the people who attend the universities from different parts of the world, in places like Saudi Arabia, depending on the place from where they came, that makes them know how to grade the students. They do not grade all the students together. They grade the students based on where they are from. So students from places like Nigeria, Mali, Guinea, Gambia, Niger, so we have, there's a way they grade them, because they feel that from the very long time in the history of Islam, they had some relationship with Islam. If you go to these places, you find kuliyat, you find colleges, you find even some Islamic universities there. So they grade them differently from those who come from places where their forefathers knew nothing other than kufur and shirk. So if they have 45-50% pass mark for people from these countries where they had some stint with Islam, they give them like 30-35 as pass marks. They give them 30-35. Once you're able to score 30, you have a pass mark. So if people like him became shuyukh for perhaps scoring 25 out of the 35 pass mark, do we understand? Because he may not have gotten all the 100 in all his exams. So what is 35% for others is for 100 as far as they are concerned. So if he has 60%, he's only getting about 25% in the overall. So if that makes someone a sheikh, and there are people, for example, who have gone from this part of the world, whose, for example, the pass mark will be 55 to 60, and they have in overall 60 or 70% too, they would have been having, when they have 25, they would be having 50% in the overall scale. So those people are better qualified as shuyukh. Do we understand? If just the mere fact that someone goes to an Islamic university and he graduates, makes someone a sheikh, then there are many shuyukh in Nigeria. So that people like these come now and are taken as shuyukh by ignorant people itself, it's a fitna, it's a trial, because people will make statements that they are not supposed to make. People will make comments that they are not qualified to make. People will criticize people and make takfir of people they are not qualified. They will speak about matters that they are not qualified to speak about, and there will be fitan and crisis all around, especially regarding matters that people had not really faced actually and learnt. Issues of kufur and iman, they are very thin areas that ulama hardly talk about, because it is for those who are really, really scholars in the deen, or who have really, really learnt from the scholars of the deen, who speak about it. So when someone stands up and begins to speak about iman and kufur, 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 especially maybe one of iman and 90 times kufur, then there is going to be a lot of turmoil. There is going to be a lot of trial and crisis on the land. So these things have caused a lot of problems amongst the people, and it's very, very unfortunate. But in it all, inshallah, today we are supposed to discuss the hukum tariki salah, the hukum, the ruling of the one who leaves salah, who abandons salah and does not perform salah. Because in this book, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal had said, alayhi rahmatullah, that the one who abandons salah is a kafir. If someone abandons salah, is a kafir. And he quoted one of the comments from one of the companions, that one of the tabi'un, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, that the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not consider anything as kufr as they did for salah. So they considered abandonment of salah as kufr. We are supposed to really, really examine this, because this is like, unfortunately, we have not heard him saying that. Because the ulama are agreed that abandoning salah is a great sin. It's a major sin. But it is the greatest of sin after shirk. After someone performs shirk, the next sin is to abandon salah. Ulama say that. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned that in his book, Hukm Tariki Salah, that the worst of sin after shirk is tarkut salah. But they are also agreed, again, they are also agreed that the one who says he abandons salah because it is not obligatory upon him is also a kafir. The ulama also agreed upon this. And this will fall under the verse, like one of the scholars was explaining, that when you say, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ, for those who do not judge by that which Allah has revealed, that they are kuffar. It is not talking about the leaders alone. That anyone who considers this verse to be talking about leaders of Muslims alone, when they do not rule by the Sharia, is an ignorant person. He said, because that verse itself indicates that it's not talking about the leaders alone. Firstly, it says, وَمَنْ. It says, مَنْ. مَنْ means whoever, anybody. He now says again, مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ. مَا, again, is a figure that makes ifada of umum. So he says, the leader are only always talked about because they are ones ruling above the Muslims. What about those laws that Allah has made upon the individual Muslim that he does not need a leader to establish for him? If he does not also rule by those things, or he considers those things too as legal when the Sharia considers them illegal and vice versa, he also falls under the verse. For example, someone works in a bank, in a riba-based bank. He says he does not care that it is riba and that it is halal for him. It falls under this verse. لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ. The one who shaves his beard, that look, I don't care about that. It is halal for me to shave my beard. If you like, say the Prophet said anything, I don't care. It is halal for me. لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ. The one who drags his loincloth on the ground and goes wherever he likes. He told the Prophet prohibits me. Say, no, I don't care about that one. لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ. So the verse is not restricted to people, like to the leaders alone. And that is why the companions, radiallahu anhum, did not consider that verse as a verse with which takfir is made of people generally, without confirming whether those people considered those things halal. So even when they do not consider them halal, it is a sin, a major sin, which can lead to kufr. That was why it was referred to as kufr. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That's why they say it is kufr دون kufr, a lesser kufr than the kufr that takes somebody out of Islam. So the one who also abandons salah out of laziness will be kufr in that sense, in the sense of it's being a major sin, not in the sense of it's taking people out of Islam. It is until he makes denial in his mind that I do not believe that I should perform salah, then it becomes a kufr that takes somebody out of Islam. So if somebody is a ruler leading people also, like the leader, the president of a country who leads people, he makes laws for people. But he makes those laws that, yes, I know that these laws are wrong. The laws I should employ are the laws of Islam. But this is what I want to do now, even when I'm doing it wrongly. And this is why, this is how many people who commit sins, this is how they commit the sin. Even the people who commit zina, they will tell that they know that it's wrong. They are praying that Allah should make it easy for them. It doesn't mean that it is not a sin what they have done. It doesn't mean that they are not liable to be punished by Allah. But you cannot say that they are kufar until you confirm that they made istihlal of that kind of haram. So you cannot say that leaders are kufar because they are not ruling by the sharia until you can confirm that they prefer and they consider this what they do as the right sin and not the sharia. But in as much as the people actually believe and confirm the sharia to be the right thing to do, and they are doing the opposite of that thing that is right, they are still not kufar. Don't forget that we discussed iman, and we mentioned that al-iman is the notok of the qalb and the lisan, and amalul lisan wal jawarih, and that it is not a precondition for the presence of iman and belief, that all of these aspects must be complete. That even if all of the aspects are not complete, for example, someone acts against what he believes in his heart and what he says, he is still not considered a kafir. And we brought many evidences regarding this, I think in the last discussion, inshallah. So because people do not understand this, they say anyone who doesn't rule by the sharia is a kafir. So, and they limit it to the leaders alone. That is first act of ignorance. That is first expression of ignorance. Because the verse is not restricted to the leaders alone, based on those shawahid that we mentioned. The second matter is that they do not limit it to where the companions and those who came after them had limited it. Which is that you do not see that they had committed kufr that takes them out of Islam until they consider those things they do actually as halal, which are sins. Until they consider those sins as halal for them, or until they consider those halal as haram for them. So say, okay, now this is kufr that takes people out of Islam. And this is the interpretation that the scholars since history, Abdullah ibn Abbas, they have come with. So when someone comes and says, no, Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah supported a government that's not establishing sharia, it's a wrong statement in two spheres. The first sphere is a general statement, and the matter that he's talking about are specifics. Because the government of Saudi Arabia declare sharia, what they have are defects in aspects of the sharia. So you cannot say they are not implementing sharia. It will be a fallacious statement. Do you understand? People say we are making sharia, but they have failures in aspects. But they say we are making sharia. And if you ask them, even regarding those failures, they'll say this is what we are only able to do now, perhaps we'll grow later. And you say anyone who supports those kind of people is a kafir. So the question is, who has given those kind of rulings before in the history of Islam? Does it have precedence? One of the worst group of people, I mean worst in the sense that they introduced innovations that the scholars refer to as kufar, as kufr, but did not declare them kufar. Innovations that the scholars refer to as kufr, but regarding which they did not declare those who introduced those things as kufar. We mentioned earlier in the time of Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the fitna of Khalqul Qur'an, that some of the people considered the Qur'an created. Do we have a comment that declares Ma'mun, that declares Mu'tasim Billah Muwassak Billah, these three people who were its foreigners. Hatta Bishr al-Marisi. If it were not that Bishr al-Marisi had other defects in the matters of Aqidah, for which some of the scholars declared him a kafir. But these leaders, did we have Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal declaring them as kufar? The last of them, Ma'mun, someone wanted to use this verse, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. The person entered onto Ma'mun. This is mentioned in the book Siyasat al-Shari'iyya by Sheikh Jabir al-Ambari. He's a professor on Islamic politics in the Jamia Malik al-Sa'ud in Riyadh. So he has a book, Siyasat al-Shari'iyya, Islamic politics. So he referred to it and said, someone came into Ma'mun and was telling Ma'mun that he is declaring him as a kafir because he introduced some things into the Sharia that we are not from part of the Sharia. And he introduced some things that were statements of innovation, that were things of innovation. So he feels that he's a kafir. Ma'mun asked him, was the king the last king? It is in his time that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was freed. He asked him, how do you know that what I'm saying and what we have done is kufr? He said, because Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. So he asked him again, how do you know that that is from the Quran? He said, I knew that it's from the Quran by the consensus of the Muslims. Do we understand? Ma'mun said to him, it is also by the consensus of the Muslims that this verse does not refer to the leaders who do not rule by parts of the Quran until they say that it is halal. And we have not told you that what we are doing is halal. Do we understand? He wanted to make takfir as Faisal is making takfir. But the person is telling him that, look, as you are saying that this is from the Quran, there is also agreement and consensus that this verse does not refer to what you are saying. So this is the way people have come. There are so many incidences regarding this verse and the matters of takfir in the Quran. So what we are saying is, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ is not restricted to the leaders alone. It regards every act of sin that someone commits. And there are people who commit sin. So when someone abandons whatever is revealed from the Quran and Sunnah for other than it, حَكَمَ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. The question is, how? How has he acted upon it? Is he acting upon it, believing that that is the right thing he should do and that what the Quran says is wrong, or what the Sharia says is wrong or inferior? Is that what he means? If this is what he means, then he's a kafir, by also the comments of the scholars. But if what he just does, for example, is bitafahul, he abandons those things out of personal weakness or a part of a misunderstanding. That's why there are also what the ulama refer to as mawani or takfir, things regarding which someone does it. The act is an act of kufr, kufr al-akbar, not kufr al-asgar from that we were talking about, kufr duna kufr. So someone does that kind of an act, and yet it's not going to be made, takfir is not going to be made on him. That was why I was saying that those things, those are imam we are saying. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says any person, the one who says Quran makhluk, is kafir. Did he declare those people as kufar? Was he still not referring to them as amirul mu'mineen? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, those who were saying that the Quran is makhluk, which is a statement of kufr, but the imam was still referring to them as amirul mu'mineen. In fact, there are narrations that he even prayed behind Ibn Abi Du'ad, who was the governor at the time and the supervisor. Ibn Abi Du'ad was the one who was asking the people, the scholars, al-Quran makhluk, am ghayr makhluk. He was the one administering the questioning at the time. Yes, the imam prayed behind him. If he considered him a kafir, will he pray behind him? Even when he says what the imam is saying is kufr, and actually it was, but did he declare him a kafir? So we should, like Al-Imam Al-Awza'i rahimahullah says, keep haythu waqafu, stay where the scholars stay. Where they stay there. Because those things you think that you are quoting, they know it more than you. So except for someone who wants to replace those ulama with himself. And that's why you hear him say that once you have the Quran, Bukhari and Muslim, and the cassette of him, Abdullah Faisal, it suffices as a Muslim. His turrahat is what suffices a Muslim. He says, if you have Quran, Bukhari and Muslim, all English, Quran, Noble Quran, English, or Yusuf Ali, or Pictol, or whichever one is easy, Bukhari and Muslim, English also, Darul Salam publication, Daru whatever publication, also English. There you have his cases, his Turahat, also in English. So that suffices as a Muslim. Who spread this? Even Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ibn Anas, Imam Darul Hijra, when he compiled Muwatta Imam Malik, it was told to him that, look, this is going to be the Quran. He said, no, don't say that. You can't impose this upon the people. Because there are so many other things the Prophet said that he has not compiled. Did he say he compiled everything the Prophet said in Muwatta Imam Malik? So why does Faisal put himself forward? So he says, Ibn Baz is kafir. A'udhu Billah. He says, Ibn Uthaymeen is kafir. He says, Al-Albani is kafir. So the scholar is who? And he says, read Quran, Bukhari, and Muslim, and my cassettes. So who is the scholar? Who is the scholar? Who is the alim who should guide the ummah? Who? Himself. Himself. And the Khawarij in the history of Islam did no other than this. So much that they even did it to the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They accused the Prophet of injustice. Zul Khuwaisirah, Malik ibn Khuwairis. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed some prophecy among some of the people. And he came and said, O Prophet, Ya Muhammad, Aidil, fa innaka lam ta'dil. So what did he do? He's accusing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of injustice. He's accusing him that when Allah says, عِدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, he knows it more than the messenger to whom it was revealed. So be careful, be just, O Muhammad, because you have not been just. So الطَّعْنُ فِي الْعُلَمَاء comes like that from Khawarij. It comes like that from those who are Khariji. They are people who, all their interest is about kufr and takfir. Meanwhile, ask them about wudu, they don't know about it. If you ask Abdullah Faisal the smallest question of fiqh, you see him how he will fumble. You see how he will fumble. Just ask him a little question on talaq or fiqh or zakah or something. You see how he is going to fumble. But in the big matters of kufr and iman, hellfire and al-jannah, he puts himself in front and declares all the ulama as kuffar. So he should declare Ibn Abbas as kafir. He should declare Ahmad bin Hanbal as kafir because it is part of his qawaid. That if he declares someone a kafir and you do not declare that person a kafir, you are a kafir. These are things he says. These are things that he says. And unfortunately, some of the ignorant Muslims too have found that people like him should be given solace. And these kind of people are people that we should be careful about. Perhaps we should not go close to them. Anyone who supports Faisal is someone that may fall under the wrath of Allah at any point in time. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith that reported by Imam Bukhari, Muslim, Imam al-Nasa'i also reported the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man ahdasa muhdasa. Anyone who brings about any innovation into this deen, or awa muhdisat, or supports people who bring about innovations in this deen, fala'anatullahi alayhi وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. The woe of Allah be upon him. The woe of the messengers, والملائكة, the curse of the angels be upon him, and the curse of all of men be upon him. So when someone brings about those ideas, because he said in one of his statements that anyone who speaks about kufr duna kufr, the woe of Allah be upon him. Abdullah Faisal said that the woe of Allah be upon him. The one who says, who agrees with the qaida of kufr duna kufr. And Imam al-Baghawi talked about it. Ibn Arabi al-Maliki talked about it. Abdullah ibn Abbas talked about it. Imam Tawus talked about it. Imam Mujahid ibn Jabr spoke about it. Eminent companion of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, Abdullah ibn Abbas read the Quran to me 3 times from beginning to its end. I will stop after every verse and I will ask him what is the sabab al-nuzul of this ayah and what are the ahkam regarding this verse. Imam Mujahid ibn Jabr. And yet he says that kufr duna kufr. Imam Ata' ibn Abi Rabah, Imam Malik, Imam Makkah, he spoke about it. And then many of the scholars after them, Imam al-Sam'ani, they spoke about it. So if he says that anyone who talks about kufur, doing a kufur, the whole of Allah be, the question, the whole of Allah be upon Ibn Abbas, the whole of Allah be upon Abu Ibn Abi Rabah, the whole of Allah be upon all these people that we have counted, and all these. So no one gives support to those kind of people except that one, he is ignorant or he's a hypocrite. He's either ignorant or practicing hypocrisy. Either ignorant, doesn't know his left from his right, or is just disturbed by utter hypocrisy. So these are the kind of things that you find with people like Abdullah Faisal, Turahat. So we should be careful about people like that, and those who also give support to him. Because if the word of Allah is upon somebody, it can meet you too when you are close to him. He says, "Taku fitnatan, la tusibanna alladhina zalamu minkum khasa." So he should run away from it. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, "Al-firar min al-fitna min al-iman." To run away from fitna, trials and tribulations, is part of iman. So once you know someone is maftoon, just keep away from him. Someone maftoon, just keep away from him, so that his fitna does not encompass you. May Allah save us from the fitan of all these people. So they make iskat rams. When he said, may Allah do justly with him, that Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah had problems with aqidah. Did he quote the book where the Sheikh said that? You will never hear that. When he said Bumbaz gave a fatwa that's kufr, did he quote where it is? And that's why we say to him, whatever has been written against him, you should stop talking. Let him write and let's see. Is it not so? Someone speaks. He can come to us, I didn't say that again. But let him write it and write his name below it with whichever language that is easy for him. But I'm sure there is no language he can write with. I doubt if he can write in English, especially because even at spoken English, his English is bad. No one appreciates his English except someone who does not know English language. He speaks very bad English. He did not learn English language in the places where the language is learned, and he is not from a country where the mother language is English. Is their mother language English in Jamaica? He's not. So perhaps he picked up English language on the street. But he has gone to the Jamia to learn about Islam. Perhaps he should have learned also about Arabic. So we expect perhaps in his response he will write in Arabic or he will write in English, as it is easy. So that we will not be saying he said, and people will be saying, where did he say that? So when he said Sheikh al-Albani has problems with Aqidah, he is afraid now to make tafsir with making takfir. But that was what he had done in the past, in his tapes. What about Ibn Taymiyyah? Has he said Ibn Taymiyyah has problems with Aqidah? Has he said that? So that we can say to him some of what the ulama has said to regarding that. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is from those who opined alayhi rahmatullah that the hellfire shall end. Fana'un nar. That the fire shall end. And he based it on a verse in Surah Al-Hud. On two verses in Surah Al-Hud. The first verse spoke about the people of Al-Jannah. The second verse spoke about the people of Jahannam. In that spoke about the people of Al-Jannah, Allah continued and said, "Ata'an ghayr majzuz." It was a gift that was not going to stop. It does not have an end. It will continue. Because he says, they are going to be in Al-Jannah illa masha'Allah, until Allah wills. So he continued and said, "Ata'an ghayr majzuz." It is going to be a gift that Allah gives to them that doesn't have an end. So he said, "Illa mashallah" means it has a time that it will end. But he's saying again after it meant that it is continuous. So Al-Jannah people will live in it forever. But he said, "Fire shall stop." Because Allah, after saying "Illa mashallah," he didn't say that it is going to continue. Or he did not make a statement that indicated that it was going to continue. And this was also the opinion of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, his student. So why has he not accused them of problems in Aqidah? Because this matter is from the matters of Aqidah. He has not accused them of that. So there it's like that since the history of Islam. That there are some matters regarding which, based on the evidences that are clear to these scholars, they made the statements that they made. So we, those who caught, who came, did Allah tell us that no human being will make errors, make mistakes? Why did we say Rabbana ghafir lana wal ikhwanina allazina sabakuna bil iman? If they did not make mistakes. So we are not saying the ulama do not make mistakes. But firstly, you must be able to establish a mistake for an alim. The mistake must not be mutawahama. Something you just think he has heard, but you are only thinking that he heard because of your own ignorance or low level of knowledge. Like he said, Abdullah Faisal, one of what he said when he was declaring Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen as a kafir, a'udhu billah, he said the Imam does not believe in Tawheed Hakimiyyah. And that Allah says, alayhi sallahu bi ahkam al-hakimin. Is it Abdullah Faisal who will teach this ummah that Allah said, alayhi sallahu bi ahkam al-hakimin? Afa hukma al-jahiliyyati yabawoon. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُكِنُونَ. Is he the one who will teach this ummah this ayah? And this ummah has not known any of its a'imma grouping Hakimiyyah especially outside as a branch of Tawheed. If he says there is, let him produce it. If he says there is any of the a'imma in the past that had mentioned Tawheed Hakimiyyah as a branch of Tawheed, let Abdullah Faisal produce it. But what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said is that the Hakimiyyah of Allah is under his rububiyyah. The Hakimiyyah of Allah, the fact that Allah is the lawgiver, supreme lawgiver, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is under his rububiyyah. What is his evidence? He brought the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim and the verse in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah says, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They take their rabbis and their monks as lords besides Allah. He said, this is the verse. And he brought the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he read this verse, he heard it and said, no, but they didn't take them as lords. They were not worshipping them. He said, when they command them against the commandment of Allah, do they not obey them? He said, yes, they obey them. See, when they command them to do what Allah has prohibited, do they not obey? He said, yes. He said, that is taking them as lord. But in this verse, so that is Hakimiyyah, giving laws. So they shirk Hakimiyyah in their term here. But yet Allah says, Arbaba min dunillah. So this is under the rububiyyah of Allah. Because they are bringing about a Rabb different from a Rabb. The Rabb that gives laws. So Allah says, Arbaba min dunillah. So the alim say, yes, the hukum, the fact that Allah is a supreme lawgiver is under the rububiyyah of Allah. So he says, no, to do that is destroying Tawheed Hakimiyyah. And it's because they are paid for it. So one can say that an alim is making a mistake because of his own ignorance. Do we understand? So we are not saying our ulama are masumun or masumin. We are not saying that. But what we are saying is, what you say that they have made as errors are nothing but your own considerations based on your own ignorance. Your own considerations based on your own ignorance. He said, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah said that the one who abuses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a kafir. The question is, where did he say that? You will never hear him say that. He said, Ibn Baz gave a fatwa to Kufa. Where did he say that? You never, that in so and so place he said so and so. And that's why we are saying, like I told the brothers now, that he said he wants a discussion. We are not interested in the discussion. Anything you want to discuss, write it. Put it to writing. Write it. Anything you want to discuss, write it. By the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we shall respond. But talk, it will just be a matter of they said, he said, they said, he said, they said, they said, he claimed. If people did not have the audios of some of what he had said, I'm sure he would have forgotten that he said, the will of Allah be upon anyone who believes in kufr duna kufr. He would have forgotten that he said it. There's an adage that says, someone who passes stool somewhere forgets that he has passed the stool. But the one who takes the pain to pass the stool does not forget. He never forgets. So perhaps he had forgotten that he said things like that. Perhaps he had forgotten that he said that the Muslims of today are worse than the kuffar of Quraysh. Or they are like the kuffar of Quraysh. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا. Allah responds. Yes, he said the Muslims are like the Jews now, carbon copy. Allah says, liars, there's no basis for consideration. Someone who is going to be in Jahannam forever and someone who, even if he has to, because for the Muslims there is qa'idatul wa'd wal wa'id. It is part of what we'll discuss when we discuss hukmu tariki salah, inshallah. That for the Muslim, whatever sins he committed, if he died, if Allah wishes subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when he did not seek for forgiveness before he died, Allah can forgive him. It's qa'idatul wa'd wal wa'id. If he likes, as insha'a azabahu wa insha'a yaghfir lahu. So this is available for the Muslim, but it's not available for the kafir. So where do you create a basis? Why do you create a basis? Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, لَتَتَبِعَنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ, did he say that we are going to be like them? He said, when they do something, we'll do it. When you do something, but in his all his comments in that hadith to and fro, you still see that the Prophet never made at-tasawi between the Muslims and the kuffar. Because his Lord had told him, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. He's just saying that you would be behaving like them. He didn't say you would be like them, carbon copy, a'udhu billah. Like this Ruwaydida is saying now. So, if he says people hero worship ulama because they say that established, you have not established their mistakes. We are saying ulama make mistakes. And they make mistakes because they are human beings. And they are not people who receive wahyu. Even the one who received wahyu made errors in other matters regarding his person as a human being. Even he led people in salah, he made a mistake. He read salah, he read surah in the Quran. He didn't know what next he said. He was expecting that someone else corrected him in the salah. He performed salah, 4 units salah, he made 2 units in it. They asked him, has Allah reduced the salah? He said, no, he hasn't. He said, no, but you performed 2 rakats. So Jalla man la yansa. It is Allah that doesn't forget subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he says, sanukiruka fala tansa. Illa masha'Allah. He still gave the provision that if you forget, we remind you. The one we want you to forget is the one that you will forget. Perhaps those ones that Allah is bringing nafsu regarding. So what we are saying is that we are not saying that our scholars are people who never make mistakes. Did he forget that even regarding the fatwa that the Americans should come to Saudi Arabia, that some of the scholars do not agree in that with Sheikh Mumbaz, and the first of them is Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah. He did not believe that it was right. And it is from his last comments that he passed on this matter. You can go and listen to it on Silsilatul Huda wa Nur, his audio cases that he had. He said he is telling the Ummah that if Americans go there, they will never go out of Saudi Arabia. If they go in, they will never go out. And he said the hadith upon which the judgment was based was a weak hadith. So he considers the fatwa of Sheikh Mumbaz as a mistake. And if you follow up the issue with the comments of the scholars, you will find out that it appears that those who said that they should not have invited them are right. But he's presenting the matter as if there's a connivance, a'udhu billah, amongst the scholars, and let's agree that these people should come so that there can be some $1 billion that can come to us. A'udhu billah. So this is the way he presents the scholars. So he wants to sink it down our throat that there are people upon errors without proving that they made errors. If he can prove that they made errors, they said so and so and so. And so and so and so is evidence that what they said here and here and here is wrong. Then people will accept and give them excuses. But whether he says whatever he says, the fact is established that these were scholars, and for what they said, they are going to get reward for it. They are going to get reward for it. The reward of their ijtihad. So we are not saying, we are repeating on and on. We are not saying that our ulama are ma'sumun or ma'sumin. We are not saying that. And we are not making ta'asub. We are not making taqlid unnecessarily. What we are saying is, you have not proven that they erred. You have not established their erring. And this is what we are fighting you for. Because the one who abuses the ulama is like the one who abuses the anbiya. Because the ulama, they are the ulul irsil anbiya. They are the one who inherited the anbiya. They are to guide the ummah. They are to tell us what to do and what not to do. They are to tell us, go and fight, and they are to tell us not to fight. They are part of the ulul amr minkum. So they are the people of honor. We must never abuse them. Abu Ruqayyah, Tamim ibn Aus in Ad-Dari, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that Ad-Dinun Nasiha, he said that thrice. He said, Kulna liman, he said to him, to who? Nasiha to who? Being sincere to who? He said, Illahi, wa li rasulihi, wa li kitabihi, wa li a'immati al-muslimina wa ammatihim. So a'immatul muslimin, these are they, the scholars. You must be sincere with that. Let him read. The issue is he doesn't even read. So how will he know? He doesn't read. Let him read what the ulama say about being sincere to a'immatul muslimin. He should read what they say about that. So if he reads what they say about that, then we know that, okay, he read something. Why did he read anything? Have you heard him speaking and establishing, quoting, and saying that this establishes that and that establishes this? He's only talking. He's only saying his own. And he said it loud and clear that once you have Quran, Bukhari and Muslim, and then his own cassettes, it's okay for you as a Muslim. So you remain under Abdullah Faisal forever. Someone who should be learning, who thinks that he has now reached the level that he should teach the Ummah Islam. Islam that had existed before he was given birth to. Yes, some of the Khawarij, the people of innovation, went to one of the pious predecessors and said to him, the Al-Imam Ayyub al-Saqtiyani, that he should join them in their innovation. He said to him, what will I have to do with an innovation that I was born when it started? Do you understand? Because it has started when he was born before it started, it's a proof that it is an innovation. Because if it were not an innovation, it would have been there before he was born. The mere fact that he was born and then it started is an evidence that it cannot be Islam. So we should understand these facts regarding this man called Faisal. And regarding that quickly, we would like to read to us again. We had done it before. We read to us the comments of Al-Imam al-Barbahari alayhi rahmatullah regarding situations like this. Perhaps in it we'll find benefits within this period, because there are going to be talks and comments here and there as we move around wherever we are. Al-Imam al-Barbahari alayhi rahmatullah, he said, وَحْذَرْ صِغَارَ الْمُحْدَثَاتِ. So be careful about those innovations that are low in rank. Because the commandments of the Sharia vary in rank. So for each of them also, when innovations come, those innovations vary in rank. Do we understand? Because the commandments of the Sharia vary in rank, the prohibitions of the Sharia vary in rank, so when innovations come regarding any of them, those innovations will also vary in rank. So he said, be careful about those innovations that are supposed to be low in rank. He said, فَإِنَّ صَغِيرَ الْبِدَعْ يَعُودُ حَتَّى يَصِيرَ كَبِيرًا. He said, because those innovations that are low in rank, they turn and go ahead and turn and form and spread until they become huge. They had been minor before and then they become major. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ أُحْدِثَتْ فِي هَذِهُ الْأُمَّةِ. He said, that is the same way that every innovation that was brought into this Ummah, that was how it started. So at the beginning, it was Ruh Waisira saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اِعْدِلْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَعْدِلْ. Be just because you have not expressed, you have not been just, O Muhammad. It started like that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ruh Waisira said that. When he died, it became a matter of saying that the companions of the Prophet are all kufar. From Ali, from Abdullah. They were quoting verses. The Khawarij told Abdullah ibn Abbas, because Ali ibn Abi Talib, when those people camped at the place known as Harura, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, sought permission from him to go and discuss with them in their camp. And Ali ibn Abi Talib said to him, I'm afraid that they will harm you or they will kill you. He said, let me go. They consider me a honorable person amongst them. So he went there. What verse did they quote? They said to him, in al-hukm illa lillah. Judgment belongs to no one but Allah. They were quoting verses of the Quran. So when some ignorant people say, but Faisal is quoting verses of the Quran, Khawarij quoted verses of Quran. No person comes in this ummah with an innovation except that he's quoting Quran and Hadith. No person comes in this ummah with an innovation except that he's quoting Quran and Hadith. Those people who are making wahdatul wujud, ahlul hulul, pantheists, those who say that everything is Allah, some of them are in the Sufiya, some of them are in the other innovated groups. They are also quoting verses. Someone faced Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and said to him that you are saying that Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah, that you are saying that there is no hulul, there is no wahdatul wujud. That didn't Allah say that ma yakunu min najwa thalathatin illa huwa rabi'uhum wala khamsatin illa huwa sadisuhum wala adna min dhalik, and all those. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said to him, end the verse, finish the verse. What did Allah say? He says, Alam ta'alam, at the beginning, say, Alam ta'alam anna Allah ya'alamu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard ma yakunu min najwa thalathatin illa huwa rabi'uhum wala khamsatin illa huwa sadisuhum wala adna min dhalik wala aksara illa huwa ma'ahum aina ma kanu summa yunabbi'uhum bima amilu yawm al-qiyamah inna Allah bi kulli shay'in. He said, Inna Allah bada'a bil ilmi wa khatama bil ilmi fa innahu ma'ahum bi ilmihi. Say, Allah started with knowledge, Alam ta'alam anna Allah ya'alamu, and at the end he says, Inna Allah bi kulli shay'in alim. So he's talking about his knowledge. He's not saying that he's there where they are in his essence, in his zat subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one is, that's why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, even when he took that qaida from the Imam alayhi rahmatullah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, that if any person from the people of innovation quotes a verse of the Quran, don't look for another one to refute him. Just look at that very verse that he's quoting. There will be refutation for his claims in that verse that he quotes. Look at the verse properly. In that verse that he's quoting, something will make you understand. Why, when Faisal is saying that وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَوْلَيْكَ الْمُلْكَافِرُونَ, refers to leaders, and it does not refer to him. It does not refer to any other Muslim. And ulama say, no, it refers to every person, depending on your status. Because he say, وَمَنْ لِلْعُمُومِ لَا يَحْكُمْ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ. Another figure of umum. That it's referring to everything and every Muslim regarding where you are. It's not talking about hukum regarding those persons alone who are leaders. So you see that there is no one who comes with an innovation except he's quoting verses of Quran. But the one who is ignorant say, oh, but he's quoting the verses of Quran, he's quoting hadith. And that's why the leaders of the Khawarij at the time, they were not more than 12, but they had as much as 7,000 people with them. Yes, because after that, the discussion of Abdullah ibn Abbas with them, when they were telling that inil hukm illa lillah, only Allah alone should be the judge, only Allah alone should be the judge, there is no delegating judgment to human beings. He said to them, he quoted another verse of the Quran, radiyallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, Allah said, wa in khiftum shiqaqa baynihima fab'asu hakaman min ahlihi wa hakaman min ahliha. He said, regarding husband and wife, Allah says they should bring hakam min ahlihi. He said, Allah delegated ruling to human beings regarding matter of husband and wife. Why will he not delegate ruling to human beings regarding a matter regarding which 90,000 Muslims had already died? Yes, guess what, to Siffin. 90,000 Muslims died in that battle between the army of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib. 90,000 Muslims had died. So you are saying regarding a war that 90,000 Muslims died, there should not be delegation of laws to human beings. But regarding a matter between husband and wife, Allah already delegated the laws. And they became destroyed in their argument. Some of the gullible ones, they went with Abdullah ibn Abbas. When they went to Nahrawan, where they fought the battle and they were killed also again, after the discussion of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they were saying that Ali ibn Abi Talib, you fought with Aisha radhiyallahu anha, which was a lie. And you did not capture her as a free slave. So he said, okay, if I capture her as a free slave, who amongst you will take her as your wife? And the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, An-Nabiyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. So if you say you take her as your wife, you become kafir, because she's your mother. So who amongst you will take her? When Ali ibn Abi Talib spoke to them, another about 5,000 or 6,000 went away. Only a few of them died. And that was why Ali ibn Abi Talib told them that today, not up to 50 of the people behind me will die from your hands. So they fought a battle where those who came with Ali ibn Abi Talib, not up to 50 amongst them died. Let's read Al-Farq Bayn Al-Firq. All these narrations are there. So, there is no one who comes with an innovation in this deen except that he's quoting Quran and Hadith. So if you are the one drunk with Quran and Hadith, just quoting, without someone telling you that these are what the companions said, these are what the ulama say, then be careful. Because he will be giving you his own ta'wil. He will be giving, especially if you can't even verify the point yourself. Because I heard that some people say, hey, but you can hear him quoting verse of Quran. People like you existed too in the past, who were dummies. They were pushed either side by the waves as a matter. If someone comes and talks to them, they are here today. So if another person comes and talks to them again, they are here. People like that had existed. La yu'tabaru bi amsalihim. You don't consider people like them as important. They are like kagusa is sail. They are like the junks that the water carries along. You know, when it rains, you see a lot of things on the erosion, the surface of the water. So many useless things. So that's how those kind of people and what they say should be considered. What we are saying is that every innovation that came started small. It became big and big and big. There are so many things to establish this. So all of it will start like that. إذا كان أولها صغيرا يشبه الحق فاغتر بذلك من دخل فيها. So it will start small. It will appear like two rebels. He's quoting Quran. It's because Faisal is quoting Quran, that's why many people will be following him about. He's quoting Quran. People have quoted Quran like him too and they went astray. So he said, because they are saying he's quoting Quran, فاغتر بذلك من دخل فيها. So those who will follow him about will be deceived by that. Hey, don't hero worship your scholars. No, he said, you see now, he's saying that we should not hero worship scholars. It's true. Magrurin. Deceive people. Yes, we should not worship Qawl al-Haq. True statements. But what is intended with it? Abatil. He said, فاغتر بذلك من دخل فيها ثم لم يستطع الخروج منها. So when he entered into it, he's not able to come out. So you see some people, they are so drunk with these nonsense from Abdullah Faisal, and they are not able to leave. How he gave a nice talk? Satan's web. Summa mother, Satan's web. I will read one at two, but we're lacking. I want to repent, but so what? So what? There were people who were better than Faisal, if he at all there is any khair in him. Because some of those who have personal relationship with him speak about some of the evil in his actions, in his mu'amalat. Because from his fatwa is that you can break a bank and get the money from it, you are right. Some of the brothers in US are in jail because of this fatwa of his. Yes, you can break a bank. I'm sure if the Nigerian embassy is aware of all this nonsense, they will not give him a visa to come to Nigeria. All that. They gave him the visa to come to Nigeria so that he can cause more commotions amongst the Muslims. Then because they've been looking for an excuse to say that there are terrorists in Nigeria, then they can say, see now, that's why they brought Faisal. So all those people relating with him now should be ready to be named as terrorists when the time comes. And they should not be a pita to Abdullah Faisal. They should not deny Faisal. When they begin to pick the terrorists now, they should not say they are not friends of Faisal again. So anyone who wants to be friends of Faisal, let him know now. Anyone who wants to be an enemy of Faisal, let him know now. So they would have given him permission to come into this country for that kind of a reason. Else, they should not allow him. If he tells his boys now, hey, go and break GTB. Go and break the GTB. They say, Ustaze, Tuma, they are breaking banks. So he has those kind of deviant behaviors. Allah al-Mustaan. So those people became deceived because they hear him quote verse of Quran and they hear him quote hadith and they hear him make statements and explain matters away from the rightness with which they were said in the Quran and Sunnah. He said, فَعَظُمَتْ He said, the matter became big. وَصَارَتْ دِينًا يُدَانُ بِهِ So it became an act of worship with which people think when they do that, they are worshipping Allah. So many people think that when they listen to the tapes of Abdullah Faisal, they are worshipping Allah. They will think that when they follow Faisal about in their tijwal, let Allah barakata fihi, they think that they are serving Allah. Nobody can prove that Faisal picked a book to teach people. Have you ever heard that? Come on, Riyadh Salihin. It's common because it's available everywhere. You've seen Faisal read Riyadh Salihin to people and explain? He can't. And the reason is that because he will be constrained to have to speak in the light of what he reads and explain in the light of what he's reading. But he wants to be free to say anything that he likes because he's not ashamed of himself. And no one says what he likes except the one who is not ashamed of himself. Allah understand. The Prophet said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those things became things that people think that when they did, so people thought that when you break into a bank, you are doing ibadah. Yes. When you break into a bank, it's ibadah. When you kill a kafir on the street, he said that. Faisal. He said it's a very easy thing to enter al-Jannah. In the tape, he was even saying that people should raise up their hands, anyone who wants to go into al-Jannah. Just get a kafir and kill a kafir. You are in al-Jannah. But his both parents are kuya kufar. Did he kill them both to get al-Jannah? Yakuluna ma la yaf'alun. This part of what the Prophet told us about the end time people who claim that they are from the people of the deen. He said, Yakuluna ma la yaf'alun. They will be saying what they don't do. So how many banks has Faisal broken? He himself. If he says people should break a bank, how many banks has he broken? If he says people should kill kuffar, they should not have any relationship with their parents, even when they are non-Muslims. They should not be nice to them. They should not have anything to do with them. And all those that he's been saying. How many of those has he done? He himself. If he says people should go and buy, he says his own man has his bullet. Bullet. Does he have a gun? Let him answer. Just answer this question. Do you have a gun? If he answers that he has a gun, he should be picked up immediately in Nigeria. So where is his gun with which he's going to kill the kuffar? So that will take him to Sabo tomorrow. You see a lot of kuffar on the road. If you want to be true to what you say, kill all the kuffar. So how many kuffar will you call into Islam? When Allah says,